Hi, this is John Barrett on behalf of Hampton's Consciousness. I have the privilege and honor of speaking to Tom Bogdan, who's been a part of Montauk history for a very, very long time. I had the pleasure of working with Tom on my documentary, Real Montauk, which is available on YouTube. But Tom, thank you for being here today. And tell us just a little bit about how you came to Montauk and how you established roots here.
In 1970, I was newly married and I was living in Manhattan on the West Side. I was working for an advertising agency, a major agency, and I happened to be the youngest vice president in the history of the company. My wife, Marilyn, was a fabric designer, an independent fabric designer, and she was making a name for herself in the marketplace. We had a beautiful apartment on the Upper West Side on Central Park West. Life was good. We were both getting ahead, and I was absolutely miserable. I was tired of the rat race in New York. I was tired of my job. I wanted to be an independent businessman. My grandfather and my father were both small independent businessmen, and I wanted to take the same path. We had spent a half a year in going to as far away as Florida to find a suitable place, but we couldn't find anything. One Sunday morning, my wife Marilyn woke up and was reading the Times and read an article about a shop being available in, of all places, a place called Montauk on the end of Long Island. Neither one of us were ever there before. We had a little VW convertible. We drove out that March afternoon, and we got to Montauk. We got directions to a place called Gosman's Dock. We took a walk around it, and we bumped into a gentleman named John Gosman, who was the eldest brother of five siblings who owned the dock, and he would spend the next 2 hours telling us about his plans and his dreams for what the dock would be. At the end of the conversation, I asked him if I could rent the new building that he showed me, the first of what were to be many new buildings. John said, well, what would you sell if you had the building? And I said, I don't know yet. And he said, I haven't told you the rent yet. And I said, I don't care what the rent is. He said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll give you 1 year. And within 4 days, we had quit our jobs. We sold our apartment. We came out, and the only place we could find was a small motel room to rent. And we would go ahead and rent that small motel room for the next 6 months. We had taken a 99% pay cut, and we began our life in Montauk.
Incredible story. Currently, you are leading the fight against the East Hampton Airport in terms of the effect that it may have on Montauk. Tell me a little bit about your organization, Montauk United, and also we'll talk a little bit more about the airport controversy, if you will.
In the early 2000s, Montauk became afflicted by a tremendous growth in nightclubs and the popularity of new nightclubs coming. What resulted in Montauk became sort of a Wild West show on almost every night, and especially on weekends. Literally hundreds, maybe thousands of kids, young people and kids would come to Montauk and party. And there were no rules to play. Everything was wide open. Wild parties in the street, drunks walking around, falling down, cars all over the place. It was doing incredible damage to our collective homes. The town felt attacked by this, that as a group, they demanded the town board to come out and hear our story. The town board came out, and I believe there was over 850 Montauk residents demanding action on it. The town promised they would begin to do things. But my thought in the audience listening to it that day was that there is only one real power, and that's the power of a united group, a united community. And with that thought, I envisioned a group to be called Montauk United, based on the idea of apoliticism and united together, we can persevere and do things for Montauk and protect Montauk.
And how did you address this Wild West culture, which I remember vividly in terms of its destructiveness and its self-indulgence? How were you finally able to correct that problem?
Through united citizen pressure on the town board. The town board had heard the people speak and were beginning to act. What we did is put additional pressure, spearheaded the pressure, like a ball-peen hammer, centralize all the pressure and keep the and continue the pressure till we saw change. And in many cases, to point out areas that the town may not have been aware of. As the years went by, we did the same strategy on a half a dozen different problems. But
and how was that problem solved, though? Was it just
through the town board?
But specifically, what was actually done? I'm just curious myself because I remember being there when things were completely out of hand.
The number one thing is the town increased the police pressure on Montauk. They assigned more policemen to be there during these periods. I think we went from just two or three police assignments to half a dozen. A new police headquarters was established, and word had gone and out to the groups, to certain nightclubs and restaurants, that they were being watched closely to obey the fire laws, the amount of people that could be allowed in the building. But all those things, I believe the town would eventually begin to do because of the original pressure. But they now knew there was a united group and they would stay united, and they were watching and keeping score.
So you mentioned that that was the first of many fights that Montauk United waged. What was the one after that that you were particularly proud of the outcome?
As I recall, there was a time when there was no law on outdoor music, and Montauk is just a small community of people. Around 2010, Montauk United did a full questionnaire of all Montauk homeowners, and in the questionnaire, we had asked them, what is the main reason you're in Montauk? What do you like most of Montauk? And over 90% said the peace and quiet and the country-like atmosphere. And we used those results to confront the town board and tell them. Now, we were fighting a small group of nightclub and restaurant owners who believed they could. That Montauk was changing. It was bringing a lot of business to Montauk. It was hiring people. And we confronted them with that argument. And that wasn't the case. This isn't Reno, Nevada. This is Montauk, New York. And what the people are here for is a peace and quiet and the beauty and of the town. We were successful in having a 9 o'clock curfew put on. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not to say there were other factors. The town board was cooperating to an extent. But now, through that pressure and through that understanding of a united group that happened, we had smaller cases of different types of questions that people had. Hotels that were taking advantage of the beach, putting beachfront furniture out on areas. There were groups in Montauk, smaller groups, that were fighting these kind of issues, which we would lend them our support. At that particular time, we had about 1,800 people signed up, which we were communicating. They were members. There was no fee to be a member. You just had to give us your email address. I called them member subscribers. And we had about 1,800 at the time. And we stayed in close communication with them. And we let everybody know that we had 1,800 people speaking in one voice for Montauk.
I was just curious because I remember reading before meeting you today that there is no dedicated Montauk representation on the East Hampton board. I found that kind of strange.
There is no direct participation of any hamlet. There are five major hamlets that make up the town of East Hampton. Mm-hmm. There is no direct representation. And that is an issue that should be thought through and debated in the future. Perhaps that type of government had worked in the past, but the town of East Hampton and its hamlets have grown far too large, and there's too many specific issues mm-hmm. at hand now not to have direct representation. My personal feelings on that was to change the structure, the political structure of the town of East Hampton, and perhaps each hamlet to have one direct representative voted just for that particular hamlet, followed by who, and the people of that hamlet would only have the vote for that. And perhaps two, after those five, perhaps two representatives at large, what the mm-hmm. entire town votes for, a supervisor who only votes on a tie.
Before we get into the airport fight, which you're now leading, what are the challenges that Montauk currently faces as a king?
Pretty much the same as all of the different hamlets. What was interesting is last week in the New York Times, there was an article about 52 communities throughout the world that are beautiful, new, and what are their problems. And it was remarkable that so many, the more beautiful, the more problems they had, and the more problems that were limited to tourism. Now, I know tourism makes up the gross national product or the great majority of it in the Hamptons, but it's to a point where it's causing more troubles than not. So that is one, the biggest issue, I believe, is the, and the popularity and the beauty of the Hamptons, and especially Montauk, that has brought people out here wanting to experience it too, having the money to do so and doing it.
It seems to me, though, that not only is it a challenge to these communities, but it's a challenge, I guess, philosophically. Like, how do you really stop people from enjoying, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that, right? It's like, yeah. Without having draconian kind of restrictions or, I guess, you know, what's your thoughts on that? I mean, I know that the challenges exist, but are there any real solutions, I guess, is my question.
Well, everybody wants and deserves a piece of the pie if they can afford it. I guess it's up to the people that are voted in office to protect us and make sure that do what the people want. It's a question of the people themselves finding a way to express their attitude to the town political structure, of which is exactly what is the philosophy of Montauk United, a united one voice group.
Okay.
And by the way, that 1,800 number mm-hmm. has since grown to over 3,000 subscribers.
Gotcha. So could you, right now, there's a lot of obvious issues facing Montauk, but one of the biggest ones, which is why part of the reason why I'm here today, is the airport. Could you give me some background on the East Hampton Airport from your point of view, like, and how we ended up in this situation today?
And of course, it goes without saying that's Montauk's point of view, or at least my group, Montauk United's point of view, in which we are truly united as a group, 3,200 plus. Years ago, the property around the East Hampton Airport was available. The price was, it was an excellent price because it was near an airport, and people, it was very popular when all that land was subdivided into a number of building lots. The popularity of the price because of the airport made it sell out very quickly. But at that time, it was a small regional airport, and it was mostly or almost all private airplanes. It was all working. That concept of buying that property was all well and good until this incredible avalanche of popularity began to descend on East Hampton, and building was happening, and also the popularity of airline travel to and from the Hamptons grew. And it grew so expositionally that it became economically feasible for the airlines to develop commuter travel. And it traveled through helicopters and fixed wings, and it was usually six passengers. And they discovered the ideal passenger size was six people, and that goes also for both helicopters and fixed wing. So over the years, that grew and grew into an incredible problem. It grew to the point where in 2020, 29,000 flights to and from the East Hampton Airport were happening through commercial aircraft. 29,000. It became it went from heaven on earth, living in a forest near East Hampton, to become an incredible, horrible situation. The planes were not only coming in on almost a 10-minute interval, maybe even more, they were coming in, and the noise from them, coupled with now to a lesser problem, but still there, was the advent of the corporate and private jet also coming to it. It was an incredible problem that people couldn't believe it. And groups began to form about that issue. And they began to make noise and complain to the town board. They did studies. There was a question of one year, there was over 45,000 complaints. However, that is questionable because the use of turbo phone calling was found to be the case too. And no one could really put a handle on exactly how many people were complaining. But one thing everybody agreed with, including Montauk and Montauk United, that it was one, a horrible problem, and two, that no one should have to suffer like that. However, there was no argument in terms of what to do. There were a variety of questions. They claimed they had talked to the airport companies and tried to have them change their pass, come at a different time, to no avail. So the next step was to campaign to the town board a number of laws that would restrict flight to certain times and restrict the total number of flights. The town board reacted by passing three different laws. Two had to deal with the time of day the commercial crafts could land. And a third one was to enact a law that would limit commercial aircraft to only one day a week, and during that day, only two flights. They passed all three laws. A pro-airport group was founded, and they took them to court. And the court said that the first two, dealing with the time of day they landed, was legal. But the third was illegal. They couldn't do it. They struck that down. So the anti-airport group, the people who were living around the airport, had won, two out of three. They felt that wasn't enough and through political pressure demanded the town board to take it to a higher court. The town board did that through the spending of many, many dollars. And what happened at the higher court was not only did they agree that the third law that dealt with only one day a week flights, was not only that was illegal, but the other two were too. So gambling, for one, they lost all three. And you would think that would end there, but not. These special groups, these special interest groups, went back to the town board again and pressured them to take it to an even higher court, which they agreed to. Specialty lawyers were hired, and over $2 million of the taxpayer money was spent on taking it to the Supreme Court. I believe in 2019, the Supreme Court refused to hear it. So they lost again. Now, before I go any further, I want to say that that was not taxpayer money. What it was airport funds, profits that were used. However, it's a public airport. Who owns the airport? The people of...
In theory, we do, right.
The people of East Hampton. Right. So now they legally... They were at a dead end. But what they again came back to the board and again pressured them to try to do it administratively through the Federal Aviation Administration, who had a long, complicated, opaque process to go through, which would eventually let the town have some control. And they believed they could go that route. The town board began that through hiring a West Coast law firm who apparently had experience in doing that. Now, the step that was a process, but in the history of that process throughout the United States and different groups who attempted it, no one had ever succeeded. No one had ever did it. Everybody, they had spent money and they had stopped only because the process took too long. It was too difficult to win through it, and it was getting just too out of control, so they didn't. The legal group from the West Coast convinced not only the town board, but the special interest groups they could, and they were hired to do it. And they spent 2 years, and they couldn't get anywhere anyway. And they came back, and they said at a specific meeting, the town board should consider closing the airport, completely shutting it down. At that particular time, another special interest group in East Hampton began to vocalize that idea of closing the airport. Now, the town board could not close it legally because they had taken grant and aid money from the FAA, a process which 99% of all airports do throughout the United States. And the money is used to fix the runways, make the airport safer, and whatever. But part of that arrangement is the FAA would keep control of that airport for a number of years, 10, 15, 20. East Hampton Airport did that, and their control, the FAA control in that particular case, would end in 2021, this past year in September. So nothing could be done. But come September, the town board became able to take complete control of the airport and close it down if they wanted to. The question began to come to a head at that point to Montauk and Montauk United, that Montauk United, or Montauk itself, has a very, very small airport. It's not even an airport. It's an airfield. There's one part-time person who runs the airport. It closes at 4:30 every afternoon. It's mainly used for small private airplanes. However, it was the only other airport between Montauk, the East End, and Zabriskie Airport in West Hampton. And we began to wonder if East Hampton Airport did close, if they did succeed in closing it, where would those flights go? Now, we're talking about in 2021, 29,000 commercial flights. And it was done by about a half a dozen aircraft companies, and they were controlled by one company who didn't own any flights, but they planned the flights. They brokered the flights. And they weren't going out of business. They were all smart people. The business itself, the industry itself, commercial air flights to the Hamptons, very successful, very profitable, and they weren't going away. They had quite a bit of money invested in fixed assets, so they had to find a better way to go. And if they lost East Hampton, although East Hampton was the perfect place, if they couldn't have East Hampton Airport, they had to find it. Other access.
But the way you describe the Montauk airfield is, how is it physically capable of handling that type of traffic, even in reality? Right?
The Montauk airport cannot handle jets. Jets aren't allowed. But they can handle helicopters, and they can handle six passenger fixed wing aircraft.
Which are the main culprits for most
of the
problems.
Which is 90% of the problem. Right, right. And
can I ask you a question, Tom? Why, when all of this is going on, all the litigation, all the money, didn't they think that this was what was going to happen ultimately? If
that
they
it would
it?
Close,
well, that Montauk would bear the brunt of whatever.
Well, no one was speaking to that. What
and the reason why?
Because either they didn't think about it or they didn't care. Mm-hmm. The special interest groups, even though it was a horrible problem, even though no one should have to suffer that, wanted it gone. They wanted out of their lives. And if they couldn't do it through legally and they couldn't do it administratively, they wanted it closed. What they started with is to control commercial traffic, and that morphed into closing the entire airport. Rather than just control helicopters, they wanted to get rid of all flights, close the entire facility down. Montauk was concerned about where would they go. And the more Montauk United got involved, the more convinced we became was that this was not solving the problem. All this was doing was transferring
giving you their problem
a serious problem from one part of the town of East Hampton to another part of the of East Hampton. Montauk is a hamlet of the town of East Hampton. We are citizens, taxpaying citizens of the town of East Hampton. We are entitled to all the protection from noise and airport problems that all other parts of the town has. And that was our argument. That was our feelings. So at that point, things were starting to develop. We were more and more people were becoming involved. Now that Montauk was becoming involved and starting to hear Montauk's voice, the issues started to grow and grow, especially as September loomed, and that was when the town could legally close the airport. Montauk United recognized the problem as early as 2017. That was an election year. Three of the five-member East Hampton Town Council seats were up to vote that year. Two council people who are elected every 4 years, and the supervisor who's elected every two. At that time, Montauk United ran a candidate survey of questions to be answered by all candidates. Two of the questions were, one, do you believe Montauk should be protected from all airport noise as other parts of the community? The three people who were elected all voted yes, it should be. Now, that was the supervisor, candidate, and two council people. Those three won the election. The second question was, if elected, under no circumstances will I increase aircraft traffic at the Montauk Airport, or will I support an increase in the airport? All three who were elected voted unanimously yes. What they did is to agree that Montauk was just as important, and two, that if the town board attempted to, they would not be for it. 2 years later, when the other two seats came up and the supervisor, the same question was asked and the same answer came. All three unanimously said they would agree that Montauk would be protected and that they deserved to be protected. A unanimous board now, all five members, including the supervisor, had pledged, had promised that if elected, that's the reason we ran the survey, because you answer that correctly, we're going to support you. If you're against Montauk, we won't. All five of them unanimously pledged, promised they would do that. And that's what we counted on. But now as 2021 loomed up, the voices weren't being heard from those elected council people. They weren't paying attention to Montauk. But the question was looming now. And what the town board decided to do is to run a number of townwide meetings. And at that time, COVID was a problem, and they were doing it on television, Channel 22, and people could call in. So the first meeting they had was the financial issues if an airport closed. And the meeting began, and within 90 minutes, the word Montauk was never mentioned. Montauk represents 17% of the town population. Montauk has the greatest concentration of commercial business than any place in the town. Yet after 90 minutes of conversation of the financial impact, the word Montauk was never mentioned. And it only was mentioned then when somebody from Montauk called and said, hey, what about us?
Montauk? Yeah. Right. Incredible.
The second meeting had to do with the impact, social and ecological impact of a closure. Again, the meeting went on for a couple hours before the word Montauk. As a matter of fact, the town at that point had a committee to study it and present its findings. And they spent 90 minutes presenting their findings of the ecological impact on the town of East End. One of the more interesting ones was they praised how the property values will go sky high once the airport is closed down, but never mentioned what the property values to Montauk would be
if the traffic were diverted. Incredible.
So what came next was these special interest groups began to say, well, Montauk's not going to get affected. Your tiny little airport, they're not going to go there. You don't have anything to worry about.
That's what they said about East Hampton, too, yeah. Right, years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
We're never going to see those helicopters coming at a rate like Baghdad. Never. So funny. So, I mean, the hypocrisy is stunning, obviously, right, when it comes to these politicians. I'll just say that for the record.
But three major studies by three different groups did a study. And they said, oh, yes, they are coming to Montauk.
Oh, yes.
Montauk, well, and they said, well, no, West Hampton, that's the place. But then the problem, what we asked was, why would somebody spend approximately $700 for a one-way trip to avoid traffic and go to the very place where the traffic begins?
Right, exactly.
The traffic doesn't begin on the Long Island Expressway. The traffic begins just at the Shinnecock Canal. And two, one of the studies had measured the distance between the West Hampton Airport and the Montauk Airport in time. And it was a 35-minute ride from Montauk against traffic versus an hour and 15 minutes
with traffic
coming from West Hampton. So
no-brainer.
That killed. Well, what happened then is that both the town board and these special interest groups, their strategy was just to ignore it all and just keep saying Montauk is not an issue. Even though the study showed it, Montauk United began giving pressure on them. Hey, you have to listen to us. This is a terrible issue. The studies themselves went anywhere from approximately 9,000 flights would be transferred to Montauk if they closed, out of 29,000, up to somewhere around 16,000. We took the middle ground. The third study said 13,500 flights would be sent to Montauk. Montauk's airport is not on the edge of town as is East Hampton Airport. The approach to East Hampton Airport doesn't go over any part of the community. It just goes over the woods there. Montauk Airport, there's only one road access, East Lake Drive, which is a very small road and a busy road because of the commercial traffic through the fishing industry. Mm-hmm. And it only goes through there, and it's on the other side of town. So approaching aircraft would have to fly over the entire town or along the beaches where 60% of the commercial businesses are, and then cross over where a huge part of the housing population is. Now, the Montauk Airport, there's nobody who lives near there, and there would have to be people to take that route. If indeed we do get it, they would have to be picked up or dropped off through regular cars, automobiles. Everybody agreed. The town ran a study itself and said the average number of people on a flight is 3.5. Well, none of that 3.5, very few are going to walk away from that airport. They need transportation. So if you multiply 3.5 times 13,500, you're talking about 45,000. Now, that's not a mistake. 45,000 vehicles going to and from Montauk on that one little road, one-way road, very little through the main street of Montauk. And the only other way out of Montauk is old and new Montauk Highway. So an incredible increase in all the negative things, a huge increase that implies, would be burdened on Montauk. If you don't want to say 3.5, say 2.5. That's right. Still close to 30,000. Well,
the environmental damage, even in the best case scenario, would be monstrous, right? I mean, and not to mention, you know, the pollution from the traffic, the trash, which we've now seen grown exponentially because of the population increase out in the East End, right? So, I mean, it's just a disaster, no matter how you cut it and slice it, right?
Montauk Airport is abuts Montauk Lake. There is Big Reed Pond behind it and beautiful forests there too. The argument that the anti-airport special increase, the ecological argument, applies to Montauk.
Even more so.
By bringing it to Montauk, that doesn't solve the ecological problem. It remains the same. Yeah. They said it would help green, that the East Hampton Town has pledged to go green within the next few years. Right. You're not getting rid of green, you're just sending it to Montauk.
Right.
We approached then the actual companies, the aircraft companies, and we asked them, what are you going to do? And they said, yeah, we are going to come to Montauk. They were portrayed as these monsters who had caused all these problems, and poor little Montauk, they don't know any better, so we're going to scare them. But no, these are executives. They run businesses. They have children. They go to church. They have a business to run.
Right,
stockholders.
They're not
monsters. They have to report to. And the answer was they were solving a problem. We would love to go to East Hampton.
It's a business issue for them, right?
Right, but if we can't, we are going to use Montauk. So we said all that, but primarily we kept asking the town board, you made a pledge, each and every one of you.
Keep it.
Yeah. You said that you would support us. You would not you will be against. And their tactic was to ignore us. And they did. There was never a meeting held specifically. While they, the town board, held meetings, live meetings, and recognized any and everyone who wanted to speak for closing. And that 85% of the people arguing for closure were from other towns. Southampton, Sag Harbor, Shelter Island, Greenport, Western Suffolk, all of Nassau, even Queens. They would come to the meetings, they would be welcome, and they would say how this rise also affected them. And that was true too. But they were included in the amount of people and groups that were for closure. When we brought up the argument that the town board should recognize that, yes, but their primary responsibility was to the people who elected them, of which Montauk was. They refused that argument. They ignored that argument.
So in effect, what you're saying is Montauk has been politically a stepchild, and now with a crucial issue.
It appears so.
They're trying to play that ignorance card, which of course is absurd because, you know, Montauk is really, in one sense, the heart and soul of East Hampton, I think. Like you said, in terms of commercial businesses, tourism, and all the industries that that they're trying to encourage.
Our job, when Montauk realized the danger that they were in, we realized that less than 5% of the community was aware of that. So as we did in other campaigns, our job was to bring awareness to the people and then let matters go from there. And we were very successful. Today, we estimate that there's a 95% plus awareness level of the danger that Montauk faces. I think that number began to ring in the back of the minds of the town board. Mm-hmm. And they went from being a fairly pro-closure attitude to not, to trying to come up with another idea. Mm-hmm. And that absolutely infuriated the anti-airport people. And they began to run huge ads calling Montauk naive, all reasons against Montauk that we didn't make sense. How right. dare they? Right. Don't they understand?
Isn't this all just NIMBY on steroids?
Yeah, and that's pretty much so.
Not in my backyard. I love the fact I can fly for $400 and beat the traffic. But hey, not over my mansion.
Yeah, right. But I do recognize the problem. It is a serious problem for them, and they've been fighting it for so long.
Right.
And
can I just ask a question? Maybe this is just a general question. If you had a magic wand, let's say right now, and you could do whatever you wanted with this airport controversy, what would you do, Tom? What would be your solution? I'm just curious to see. If you had that wand.
First of all, it's not my position to that's why we elect people. Mm-hmm. It is a townwide problem, and we at least, if they can't solve it, to recognize
the will of the people,
the problem. And just last week, first let me say this: they did come up with a solution. They said they were going to close the airport. They discovered another way. That law firm discovered another way. They discovered that once the restrictions were over, there was a process where you can close the airport and then reopen it as a private airport, owned and controlled by the town board, and they could restrict. And they liked that idea. We were very concerned that once they closed it, they'll never get it open again because of legal maneuvers or whatever one way or another to keep it closed. And you would have you would go from a temporary closure and have a de facto permanent closure. So we were against that. The town began to consider the idea and then got a letter from the Jay Snyderman, the supervisor of Southampton, an 8-letter genius article on why they shouldn't close and the effect it would have throughout, both politically, economically, and legally throughout all of Long Island. They were absolutely against doing that. The town board ignored that. Worse yet, a few more days later, Mayor Larson of the town of East Hampton said that he was concerned and he ran a townwide survey. Should we close or should we not close the airport? And 77% of the town of the village of East Hampton said, no, we do not want it closed. 77%. Now, if 77% of the town of East Hampton don't want that airport to close, coupled with Montauk, who 100% don't want it to close, you're over 80%. That doesn't include the other hamlets, the Zamagansett and Springs, Wainscott. Now, if a politician was elected with 80 to 88% of the population, it would be a landslide, an historical landslide. And they would be riding that way. This was another landslide. But instead of riding the wave, the town board was underneath that wave. 88% of their people, the people who voted for them, did not want that airport closed. Well, they went ahead and did it anyway last week. They closed the town. But now the argument became, rather than when we questioned them about where that pledge, that changed from, well, it changed from under no circumstances will I support a closure to we have to have balance. We have to have redevelopment, which of course are
buzzwords for saying we didn't keep our word.
Exactly. They're buzzwords for restriction.
Why am I not surprised that a politician lied, right?
They said restrictions. We have to have restrictions and we have to have balance. Now, what is balance? Montauk had a 0% commercial airline problem. What the town board, through restrictions and balance, is saying, we're going to solve 100%
of
the anti-airport people, and we're going to give it to another portion of the town, which does not have as much influence on us as is the case.
Right, because they had spent years in litigating, and a lot of them were
A-type people, I guess. We promised to always protect you.
Except you
have to understand balance.
Right. So where are we now in this issue?
Restrictions and balance are euphemisms for transferring a problem from one part to another. Mm-hmm. Where we're at now, last Thursday, the town board disregarded Montauk United, disregarded other pro-airport groups, disregarded the Southampton argument, disregarded the 77% of the people of the township, and voted to close the airport. They're going to close it at February 26th. They say to us, we are only going to close it for 4 days. And then we're going to open, and then what we're going to do is come up with a series of restrictions that will balance the problem. But they also said, so now what we have, of course, is that the door is open to bring traffic to Montauk. They also said that what the anti-airport people can look forward to is that there'll be tremendous relief by the beginning of this summer, which says Montauk is now the only commercial airport. And so by June, Montauk will undergo an incredible increase in commercial airport traffic. That is a euphemistic answer to the problem, but it guarantees that we will. Where else will it go?
But can't you, as part of Montauk United, follow the strategy of the East Hampton people and litigate and go through that whole cycle? Won't that be part of your plan if it becomes so unbearable out here?
We do not have the organization or the funding to do that.
Okay.
To have a legal process which people have recommended, we don't have the money to do that. Additionally, some people had stated, let's have a townwide referendum on should we close the airport or not. The town attorney says that's legally impossible, but I question that.
Seems to be that a referendum, again, I'd ask myself, you know, not being a lawyer, but where there's a will, there's a way. They've done many referendums across the United States, so there you have it.
I agree.
Montauk United, so then therefore will probably be at the forefront, based on what you're telling me, with an incredibly noisy and polluting summer ahead.
No doubt.
And is there anything we can think of, maybe so, in terms of your people doing things, which, you know, again, peaceful protests and things of that sort, to raise awareness of this?
Well,
upcoming disaster.
Let me say this. These commercial aircraft that are coming is going to overwhelm Montauk. Nothing the town board has done to date has shown the way to legally argue over the situation, to measure the situation, to decide if indeed what level is a problem? Logically, you would say, rather than going from the top and canceling 100% of the flights, and then rather to start small, cancel 10%. And if that works, go to 20 and so on.
Right, start
but
from the
we're
top
going the opposite way of logic. Right, right. There's no group formed to measure. There's no rule of thumb what is the level. Montauk United had always felt that if those helicopters come to Montauk, we will never rid ourselves of them. Through bureaucratic means, political means, whatever, we'll never get rid of them. And I believe that today.
And, you know, having loved Montauk, and I know you do as well, for so long, it's really
let me put it
very
this,
depressing.
It's
extremely depressing.
Let me put it this way. You ask that question. If the town board has spent over 10 years trying to get rid of the airplane problem in East Hampton. They've spent millions of dollars to do it. They've spent thousands of their hours to do it. They've hired dozens of lawyers to do it, and they still couldn't do it. What chance is Montauk without town board support to get rid of those, solve our problems?
How does 0 points seem?
Pretty close. Mm-hmm. We'll see, but that's the situation and that we faced.
What lessons have you personally drawn from this situation? Having been an advocate for the beauty of Montauk for so long, to see this now happen, you must feel,
in general,
right now, very, very upset.
In general, what I've come to believe is that a highly organized, well-financed minority will always persevere a disorganized, unaware majority. And that's what's happened in this particular case, and I believe it will continue. The question is, how will Montauk react in the future? Mm-hmm. And that is an open question.
Right. And you have, as you said earlier, a lot of different businesses in Montauk that rely on that peace and quiet for their livelihoods.
Motel and hotel industry alone.
Yeah, so many of the tourist-driven activities out here as well, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I just wanted to thank you very much, Tom, for giving us your time today. Could you give people some information about how they could get in touch with you with Montauk United and in case anyone wants to get involved with this ongoing issue and other issues that may happen in the future?
Go on the internet and montaukunited.com. It's free. You can sign up for all our activities. Once we have your email address, you'll be on our mailing list. And right now, Montauk United foremost is keeping everybody informed of exactly what's going on.
I'd hate to be a homeowner near that airstrip right about now. That's all I can say.
or a family staying in a motel room.
They don't know what's ahead of them. Time to get those earplugs out, wouldn't you say, at this point? But listen, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. And hopefully we can have some better outcomes and we can kind of visit again and down the road and see where we are with this thing.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.